Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P.
Jump on your bike, let's hit the road.
Come on.
Fuck the 5-0, man, we out of control.
Hey.
A bad motherfucker, riding through the night.
Hey.
A 50 motherfucker and I love to
come on
fight. Picture me rolling on my chopper on red. No love for the other side, no need to be friends. Hit the gas, homie, you gotta keep on pushing. Got an out kid, check the dose and need an ass. Put the ticket at the ticket, man, I ain't gon' pay. Let the dude 30 days locked up in CJ. Twist the throttle, let's get the rolling. My drag pipes on my bike, get the blowin'. A third motherfucker street calling me. Like a mom calls the kids when it's time to eat.
Come
don't approach me, homie, like the shit all good. I'm like half the motherfuckers that live in my hood. I'ma send you a roll into the mall. Put 10 in the clip and 1 in the hole. Fuck what you heard, homie, I'ma always hit a bar. My whole voice might rubber, but we never ever fall.
Come
at the
on.
End of the day, we can always stand tall. The gov don't like me, oh fucking well. I guess you can call me the angel from hell.
Hey!
Well, hello, everybody. This is the Phil and Bill Show for Tuesday, June 10th. Thursday, June 5th. The reason I said a 10th is I was talking to someone today. I'll get into that a little bit more in a little bit. But I wanted to give a shout-out to, as you guys have been on my page and you've seen the Mount Soledad Veterans Memorial. There's a guy today, he was honored as Volunteer of the Year. He's honored on Memorial Day. His name is Dick Lester. This guy's amazing and knowledgeable. Listens at the memorial. You'll find him here on Sundays along with his interesting and colorful stories of many who are honored here. This guy's been around. He knows pretty much a lot of things, and he takes the time out of his life to volunteer. And to talk to anybody. Guy's got great stories, all kinds of good stuff about this memorial. I'll share it again on my page. If you get a chance, go check it out. It's got a breathtaking view up there. You can ride your bike all the way to the top, get off and walk 10 or 15 feet, and be up on the memorial itself. If you've never seen it or walked around it, you're missing out. It's a great thing to go look at. The other day, we played that Don't Talk to Cops, and I got a message for that today, so let me play that, get that out of the way. This request came from Florida. And as you know, we're pretty much around the world, so we play this for this gentleman, and we'll go from there.
If you didn't see the Central Park 5 documentary, go see that. When I saw that, I only had like 4 years on the job at the time, so I was just learning. But what really was heartfelt was when you looked at those young boys, and I know the whole story. When you look at those young boys who was crying and pouring out for help, and they thought they were going to get it from their parents, the parents didn't even know how to protect their kids. When it came to law enforcement. That's why we educate the community on what to do when stopped by the police. We educate parents because parents don't know, even if you do, which you shouldn't, but if you do give the police department the permission to talk to your loved one, if you do, at any given time, you can stop it. At any given time. But you never should give the police department the permission to speak to your loved one if they're arrested. We tell the young folks out there, don't speak to them. I'm going to use part of my time to just give you a simple demonstration of what I teach young kids. When you're walking down the street, you get a call and the police get a call. If the police stop you in an area, I'm going to give you a Saturday night, whatever area you're at, and the police stop you, do you know why they're stopping you? They're stopping you because you're the only one in that vicinity. So right then and there, you are the perpetrator. You don't know you're the perpetrator because they're not going to tell you you're the perpetrator. What they try to do is stop you by engaging you. How you doing, sir? Or whatever. Sir, did you see a car? Did you hear a gunshot? Did you see somebody run? And what you think is you think, because you're not the perpetrator, right? You tend to think, well, let me help them out or let me defend myself. You don't have to defend yourself. The burden of proof is on them. Keep your damn mouth shut. This is what I tell the young folks. That if that was to happen to you as you're walking, you say, officer, am I under arrest? No, you're not under. Well, then I must be free to leave. And then you start to leave. Let him or her say, no, you can't leave. Well, then officer, am I under arrest? No, you're not. Well, then I must be free to leave. Well, no, I want to ask you something. Well, officer, am I under arrest? You keep saying that because let me tell you something. If the police had the right to arrest you, do they ever ask you? They do it. So I teach, you just say that. When the officer says, well, listen, you're not under arrest. I just want to know, did you see a car? Did you hear a person scream? Did you hear gunshots? You know, officer, am I under arrest? And if they say, well, you know, you're smart because you know what comes behind that, right? Okay, officer, you're under arrest. Okay, officer, you turn around and you put your hands behind him and say, here, take me. Here. But you don't say nothing. Say, 9 times out of 10, they're going to push you away because they're going to say, you know, if they don't have enough, they're going to say, I can't lock this person up. But what you just did is you showed them you're not afraid to get arrested. The other way you handle that situation is you do this. A cop stops you. Excuse me. You live around here. This is what you do. And you look him or her straight in the eye, and you just do this. Excuse me. Did you hear what I said? Do you live around here? Can you tell me your name? It's easy. Just don't say nothing. Now they got a decision to make. Either lock you up, beat you up, or let you go. Now, there's going to be some derogatory statements coming behind that. But you know what? I guarantee you that 99% of the time, at the end of that confrontation, you'll be walking like this in a way and on your way. That's what you do. Stop trying to prove to them that you're not the person they're looking for. That's up to them to do. Another thing, know your rights. In this book, it's only about 28 pages. I give you what you should do when you're stopped by the police, what you should do if the police come knocking at your door, what you should do if the police stop you at your car, in your car, what the passengers should do, what to do if you're brought to a police precinct because some people don't know what to expect. What to do after you've been violated by the police, how to fight them back, and get in touch with our organizations because we will come out and we will help you. I can't go down to CCRB anymore. They don't want me down there because when I've escorted people down there, they say, you can't come in. You know why? Because when I went down there with some people that was complaining, they placed semantics with a person's words. And I'm sitting there and I said, listen, if this lady said the officer slapped her, then the officer slapped her. You don't have to say to her, well, did the officer inadvertently put his hand up? What are you talking? She's a grown woman. She knows if she's been slapped. Just like grown men, they know if they've been hit. or violated. You know, stop making excuses for the police. Well, they told me you can't come down here anymore. You know, it's all right. It's okay, because if I can educate enough and you can stand and use that backbone in your spine and stand up for what's right, you'll be okay, because when you leave there, you got us. You got us, and you're going to have your community behind you if they just would stop being scared. We, as a people, need to stop being afraid.
I'm going to unmute two of our favorites here. And one at a time, please. Hello there, Eunice. What's going on?
Hey. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, I think I told you that my girlfriend's husband died, and he was a vet. And we waked him last night and buried him today. And it was the most wonderful mass that I have been to in a long time. Everybody got up and sang God Bless America.
Nice. You don't see that much anymore?
He instilled a lot of things into his children, you know. His wife Sandy and I are very dear friends. But it was so hot. There was not one person. And then his sister, I must say this, I never knew Dory had a voice. I never knew she sang. And his sister is the one that got up and started singing God Bless America. I mean, we were all at an awe, you know. And then one after another after another stood up and sang God Bless America. It was so heartwarming, you know. What a way to thank our veterans, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think I told you how angry I was with the president, you know, Tuesday, mm-hmm. and I still am, because he's a dictator. But to realize that there are so many people left in this world that believe in our boys fighting for our freedom, and for Tater to get up there and show us, you know, sell us so short of what this country is about, there's got to be a way to impeach him. There has to be. How can the President of the United States do what he did to bring a fella home that walked away from his padoon, left all his things, and announced that he was not an American? How in God's name can he turn over five prisoners that killed so many of our people?
In actuality, it's 10.
Well, you know something? I don't know how we stop him. I really don't. What do you think he can do to us next? Does he think that the war is just going to be over because he said it is?
No.
Or do you think
he's probably gonna
that
do
those
next,
people...
Probably going to do next is... hang on. I got something for you right here. What he's going to do next. Check this out.
And for the international order that we have worked for generations to build. Ordinary men and women are too small-minded to govern their own affairs. That order and progress can only come when individuals surrender their rights to an all-powerful sovereign.
Hold on. If you didn't hear that, let me play it for you again.
And for the international order we have worked for generations to build. Ordinary men and women are too small-minded to govern their own affairs. That order and progress can only come when individuals surrender their rights to an all-powerful sovereign.
That's what he's going to do.
Guess who he's talking about?
Me, you, anybody.
Yeah, I mean, I cannot believe there's not one good American that is serving in our Congress, our House of Representatives, that would not call for an impeachment against this man. I don't believe it. I mean, I just can't believe it.
Hey, Harry Reid is the one that started the bill to take away your fucking First Amendment rights and other rights.
Oh, God.
Problem is where there's one good person, you have five corrupt people, and unfortunately...
Can I interrupt you and ask you who's speaking, please? In case our listeners don't know.
It's Stacy on the New England coastline, floating around between Rhode Island and Massachusetts.
And Eunice, you're where?
I'm Worcester, Mass.
Okay. And 708, I've got to be Nora. Where are you at?
South Side of Chicago.
Okay. One at a time, please. It works a little better when we do that. Go ahead, Stacy. You were saying?
I was saying, I agree with Eunice's logic that there's got to be a few decent people to advocate for our rights, but the problem is where you have one decent human being, you have five corrupt individuals, and being that corruption seems to be the key game player in all of this, the voices of reason or the voices of the people just get squashed, and that's the problem. Or if somebody stands up, then they're presented with a boatload of crap, and people just, they go with the flow, you know how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. What do you think, Nora?
I think we're all fucked anyways. It doesn't matter how many good or bad or indifferent are in there. It's going to take place no matter what. Nobody's going to stop them. But then you have to go back in the past and, where did it actually start? Every year it's something else. That gets added on to the new one, All you
and
can
I
do
see.
Is know your rights and hope like hell that, you do the best for yourself, because obviously nobody else gives a shit for the country,
True.
I think the whole impeachment thing is a joke at this point, because the last two people that were head of office, people talked about impeaching them, and you had a Democrat and a Republican. I think, why even bother to have that in play, because nobody's going to push that as the forefront of what should be fit and right. And with each new person that comes in office, more and more things come into play and they're not right, and they're casually just overlooked or rewritten the way it looks best on paper. And it's sad. It really, really is, to think of, like the vets and all the people that have forged their way to make sure this country, stays free. And, that was the basis of this country, was to be able to be free and practice your freedoms, which, at this point in time, we don't have any left. Even down to a casual pack of cigarettes that's now doubly taxed due to whatever, it doesn't matter what you do, what you try to do.
You're talking about the cigarettes. When I was in Chicago not too long ago, I stopped and I stopped to buy a pack of cigarettes. $17 this fucking guy wanted.
I can believe it.
So here's
I know out here they're just about $10 a pack, and you know, it's all the extra things that they've tacked onto it. And, you know, the people are paying for it. Obviously, they're smokers and they want to smoke. There's nothing you can do about it. But, yeah, they're paying for it, that's for sure. But it's just small things like that. If they're able to, like, revamp something so simple as a pack of cigarettes to make you pay double the amount, you know, what are they going to do for the long haul? And, you know, it's apparent. We just keep our society dumb and ignorant and medicated and drugged up, and we don't do anything to change that process, and we keep them without jobs and poor and in no condition to do anything. And that's really what they want. They want a society that they can dictate over, and they can control, and they can tell to, you know, jump, and people will say how high. And it's a false thing. People need to wake up from the slumber they're in and really, really see what's going on around them.
Well, they better stop. They better stop. The one thing that I did do is I gave up smoking, believe it or not. And if anybody told me that I was going to do that, I would have called them crazy. But I just woke up one day and I says, I've had enough. And for me to go from two packs of cigarettes down to zilch with a patch, you know. And I hope I can continue doing it, but I'm not paying $10 for a pack of cigarettes. I'm sorry. You know, I'm not doing that. And I'm not going to give up my free will. Not in my time anyways. If I have to go out kicking, you know, and other people, if we got all these people, Phil, listening to us, then let's ban them together, you know. I'm not going to let him take that country over and tell us what to do and bring some guy home that walked away from his platoon and got six guys killed trying to find him and, you know.
Well, I think the Army's gonna deal with him when it gets there. The other day they make this guy out to who they want him to be, because you notice they brought this out because the VA scandal was getting too crazy, so they brought this shit out. And for six people to get killed and numerous others injured while they're looking for this guy, at the end of the day, they're talking about he's going to get over $300,000 in back pay.
Oh, yeah?
They were saying.
Right.
I don't think so, but that's what they were saying.
I mean, I'll tell you, you know, somebody better stand up and start saving our country, because This man is just doing what he wants to do. Suck them all in and get them to back him 100% and then throw the bomb in there, you know? And believe me, Hermes wasn't too far away from what he was talking about, you know? And I'm getting, have you seen that? Have you seen the places that have been built, you know?
There's a 25,000 square foot listening post. There's also a fucking boat that's 465 feet long that I've worked on. That's a listening post off the coast.
Well, I'll tell you something. Out in Ocam, where Sandy's daughter and son-in-law lives, it's the back part of the country, you know, up in our area here. If you could see the homes, I'm talking like three homes put into one together, and there are people from upstate New York that has bought into this area to build these homes that are three times the size as a mansion. I mean, you can't believe it. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know? And that's up in Ocam Barry, you know, Hardwick, all where it used to be all farm country up there. All farm country.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't believe it. My husband and I are sitting back here today, and we, you know, we have property up in the Hardwick, Mass. And it's all wooded area. It's like 70,000, I think. 70,000 acres that we own up there.
Mm-hmm.
In Hardwick.
Well, yeah. What are you going to do when China buys that land over there east of Upper New York, or no, west of Upper New York?
I know. It's just, you know.
Obama sold them the government land, and they're going to make, China's going to have their own little nest egg up there.
Isn't that wonderful? Well, I believe in that. I'm again, because I seen that program, and they brought you right into these places. I mean, I just can't believe it. It'll be the rich and the famous that will be saved. It'll be us poor schnooks that are going to be left outside, you know. So if somebody doesn't do something pretty soon, you know, this world will come to an end.
Well,
and I hope to God I'm not here when it happens.
Like I always say, what you allow will always continue.
Yep. So come on, guys. You know, people that are living to this, you know, get to your congressmen, your senators, anything. Do what you have to do to just tell them, let's get this guy out of there before we lose all of our freedom, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I get sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from World War II, all the way through my whole life, there's always been some kind of a war, you know? I mean, look at how many of our sons and husbands and fathers and that we have lost over things that we really don't have control on, of, and how, you know, how our servicemen are being treated now. I just don't understand it. If I had sons, you know, old enough to go, I'd talk them right out of it. I wouldn't let them go in the service, you know? I really wouldn't. I mean,
yeah, I talked. My boy wanted to go. Then he thought about it, and he said, no, he's not going to go.
To die for what? You know? To die for what? To save our country when our own president doesn't want to save it? He thinks he's doing, he's a good doer. He's not. Hey, Roosevelt, he had the balls. Taplin had the balls. They all had the balls to say, no, you're not going to take our freedom away from us. I don't care if I'm the last one standing, but we're not giving in to you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We have, you know, even Kennedy told Cuba, no, that's not going to happen. And what did they do? They backed down when he said, no, it's not going to happen, you know? This one here, I mean, how his wife and his children can hold any respect for him, I can't understand. I just can't understand it. You know, there's more to it. You know, we put these assholes in that top position, and we allowed years ago for insurance companies and, you know, healthcare and everything to take, they have told, and the banks to take totally over our country by making the rich richer and the poor poorer.
Yeah.
How stupid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just hope that I'm not alive when we see people walking down the street that don't even know where they're going. You know?
Well, getting that right now. You got people, you got, there's got to be over, the last count that I heard was over 150,000 vets living on the street.
Jesus. I believe it. I believe it. They just gave one fellow here in Worcester, he's a vet, when they cut back, he was like, I'll say a general or whatever. When they cut back and cut their staffs back in the army and so forth, this guy had no job. He ended up on the street. And what he did, the vets in Worcester here gave him a place to live, helped go back to school. He got a degree. He's a psychologist now. And they gave him a plaque in Washington called the Un... Wait a minute, it'll come to me. Help me here, Phil.
Well,
it's for a vet who has done something and come back and has done more for the vets, you know, and they gave him a plaque. There was five guys that got a plaque, and he's from Worcester. He just received it. He was on TV tonight. And he says, how could I not come back and help my fellow veterans? You know, they helped me to get where I've got, you know. And he's a big advocate now to help the vets. And you need more people like that. But he says, you have to hit the bottom sometimes to understand where you're really at, you know. And that's so true. But you don't hear those good stories, you know. I mean, I hope this guy doesn't even make it off the plane, Phil.
He's already here. He's already here. They got him locked
up.
He's
already here.
I think they got him locked up for a debrief.
Oh, yeah, really? Well, I hope he never gets out of debrief either. You know? I mean, I hope he never rides in a parade. But, you know, just like when Kennedy was killed, that story was so far-fetched. You know what really happened to him. It wasn't Oswald that shot him, you know. I mean, Oswald wasn't a great shooter, and he got him with one shot. Come on. But they covered that up real good.
And the fact of the matter that they kept all the documents sealed up for X amount of years, and when they were finally revealed to the public, they were all blacked out. It didn't tell the public more or less of what happened. You know, the whole thing's a joke. The whole thing is a joke when it comes to that.
Yep. It certainly is. And they didn't want Bob Kennedy in there either, you know? I mean, what a terrible to have two sons assassinated like that. You know, I mean, wow. Unbelievable.
You know, growing up, as you know, I mean, because you're from these parts, you almost looked at that family as if they were cursed, because if it was going to happen, it was going to happen to one of them. Because, I mean, they've had some real, I mean, you can't toss that up as coincidence to, like, shit, look, there's too much. too much stuff that revolves around them, and you know it's politically driven, and
of course.
It is what it is. You know?
Yep. They never wanted a Catholic person in there. Kidding me? Up until then, they had all been, you know, Protestant.
Eisenhower was Catholic, wasn't he?
Yeah, but when did he come?
In the 50s.
No, Bobby, you know, he wasn't. I think his wife was, but he wasn't. Eisenhower wasn't Catholic. They would have never let him in there. Not in the 50s. You know?
Mm-hmm.
There was only... The only one that I thought was an excellent president was Roosevelt.
The only one that I earned a lot of respect for and gave respect to was Reagan after the bombing in Beirut the next day when he said, "These motherfuckers are crazy, we're out of here." 274 people died that day.
He didn't do too much for this country.
Hey,
he didn't run it anyways.
Nobody's perfect.
Oh, I didn't say they were. I'm far from being perfect, believe me. Far from being perfect.
How do you like baseball?
Bore ball. Boring.
Boring? Okay, let me liven it up for you a little bit. President Obama and Michelle are at the White Sox baseball game, sitting in the first row with the Secret Service seated directly behind them. One of the Secret Service agents leans forward and says something to the president. Barack stares at the agent, looks at Michelle, looks back at the agent, and shakes his head. The agent then says, "Mr. President, it was a request from the team owner who was a big campaign contributor, and the fans will love it." So Barack shrugs and says, "Well, if it will help my poll numbers." He gets up, he grabs Michelle by the collar and the seat of her pants, and he drops her right over the wall into the field. She gets up kicking, screaming, and swearing, the crowd cheering, applauding, and high-fiving. Barack is bowing and smiling, then leans over to the agent and says, "You were right, I would have never believed that." Noticing the agent has gone totally pale, Barack asks him, "What's wrong?" The agent says, "Sir, I said he wanted you to throw out the first pitch."
Oh, my God.
God. Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, Phil. Oh, God. Oh. He's trying to liven this up.
I'm sorry. Hey.
What?
It's okay. I thought it was pretty funny myself.
Oh, okay. You think it was funny? How come we're not getting any callers in? Did we scare them off tonight? Or did I scare them off?
We're waiting for this guy by the name of JP is supposed to call. Because I received an email from Rusty's wife, Kale. The heading on the email is a casting call. This guy's looking for bikers to audition for his TV show. It's going to be called Utopia. I talked to this gentleman today for about 5 minutes. And let me tell you what he's doing here. He says, "Hey there, I know this may be a strange email for you to receive, but I'm hoping you might be able to help me connect with people. I'm currently casting a TV show for a major network, Fox. 15 people and drops them in a remote area asking them to build their own society from scratch. No rules, no guidelines set, no actual requirements or producers telling people what to say. This is a documented social experiment. We provide livestock, fertile land, water, structure, and some starter money. The rest is up to the pioneers. We want many groups represented, one of which are writers, the 1%ers, to start a new society without the demographic represented. Wouldn't be realistic in America or internationally. The MCs are a way of life that needs to be represented so people can see that this population is one with honor, code, morals, and families. So he wanted me to help him spread the word, as well as I talked to him about a few other things and what goes on with this. Now, from what I understand, it's going to be a one-year gig. And there is a stipend, so I think he said they're just going to give you enough to keep the lights on in your house so you don't lose it. So I don't know how that's going to work. I was still waiting for the information for that. But this show is basically it's on Dutch television. It's a pretty good hit over there. That's why I brought it over here. So it's going to be like kind of like Survivor, but not really, where Survivor's all scripted. This isn't going to be. So 15 people, and I'm thinking, why 15? I'd go 16. That way, if there's something goes on, you got an equal majority. Vote on it.
Well, let's show them what America's really about.
They already know.
I'm in for the show. I'm in for the show. Come on, I'm in for the show. I don't know how long I'll last, but I'm in for the show. How about you, Nora and Stacy?
Yeah, I think it would be a good thing.
Well, they want 15 pioneers to be diverse as possible. They want to mimic the demographic of the U.S., so definitely a melting pot. There will be people with varying skills, talents, creeds, colors, and opinions on what makes a perfect society. One group we feel needs to be represented is the MC community again. This group is often seen, heard, but not understood. We think this platform or stage is a setting for a great place for the biker community's voice to be heard so people can understand that these men and women are people of honor, codes, ethics, morals, and families. Persecution and oppression happen to be all over this world, even in the United States. Our society is so far from perfect, but there are ways to improve it. We hope this TV show will open people's eyes to how improvements can be made. So they sent me the press release and everything, and I have a link for that. If people are seriously interested, I'm going to post that link in the chat room right now. But it's at utopiabcasting.com. So as you guys know, I get these all the time. I get like last year. I don't know if you remember when I got that call from Larry the Cable Guy's representative, where he wanted to hang out with a particular club in Sturgis last year, maybe get a tattoo and stuff like that, and it made it to TV end of September last year. So for me, I'm not looking to get any reward out of this. I just like doing stuff like this because it brings that. My whole thing with this and Bill's thing is we don't want the division between the clubs, because if we don't stand together, we're all gonna get fucked. As you guys know, in Australia, they have the anti-association law, so there's three of us sitting in a bar having a beer. All three of us get locked up, and they don't have to tell anybody where you're at.
Yeah, that's absolutely horrible.
Well, the Supreme Court just also signed off on Monday. Okay, say me, you, and me, the four of us are in a car, and you guys drop me off. And because I'm a fourth waiver, the cops pick me up right as soon as you guys pull away. And they want to know who's in the car and da 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 da. If you tell us, we'll let you go. And they go after the car. Now, they can pull you over, pull you out of the car, handcuff you, set you on the curb or wherever, the back of the car or another, while they tear that car apart trying to find something to arrest you for, because I gave them the tip. So they're making more rats. Put it that way.
They can believe it.
You know, it's like Rusty said in that video, when you're in there and you're making decisions on your life and you're going to lose your freedom, you're going to talk. The average guy's going to talk.
Well, you know something, Phil? I know you're not going to talk. So I'll drop you off at a club anytime, and they can pull me over anytime, you know? And I'll tell them. That cop...
Hey, you're lucky they'll arrest you. You're lucky they'll arrest you for wearing the patch.
Oh, God. Oh, and I'll just tell him that a cop played with me. What do you think about that?
Did what?
Played.
He did what?
With me. He examined me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yes.
And when the guy said, is that why you're smiling?
No, I'm not smiling. I'm just saying, they're down to my knees, so I could just take it and hit him right in the face with it. Right over my shoulder.
So basically, Eunice, if somebody called you right now and said, hey, Eunice, come on, we're going to go out, this is what you would say. I'm afraid I can't go. I've already taken off my bra, so I'm in for the night.
Well, let me tell you something. I can put it on pretty fast. And all I do is bend over Fredwood. And I
someone
get those little puppies right back in there.
Someone just asked me if there's a video.
A video.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, if they were questioning me, I learned something a long, long time ago in the Marine Corps. Don't ever mistake my silence for ignorance, my calmness for acceptance, or my kindness for weakness.
Well, let me tell you something. First of all, they don't hang down to my knees, thank God.
Wait. It's your story. You tell it any way it sounds good.
Well, I'm telling you, you know. I mean, just get on the video and take a look yourself. You know. I don't look too bad.
Somebody just beat me from Australia, wanted to know if there's a link.
Link. Stay tuned. God. Film at 11.
Exactly.
Oh, God. At least we get a laugh anyways.
No, they just came out with the Obama talking bullshitter doll.
Oh, my God.
Phil, did you have enough sleep? You know, because you're awful silly tonight.
You know?
Nora, where are you?
I'm here.
Huh?
Help me. Oh, God.
I don't know. I'm having a brain fart. I've been up since 5.
Oof. Oh, I have too. I was up and down all night long.
Got you both beat. I've been up since 1:45.
Okay, I was also up at 2 and then fell back asleep for a minute.
Words of advice for you guys today are spread happiness by smiling at a stranger today, or just flash them your boobs. Strangers love boobs.
I know that.
Strangers love boobs.
God.
All right.
But that was pretty good.
We were at a party a couple of weeks ago, and this gentleman come up to me and he says, I've got to tell you something. You're a very attractive woman. I says, why, thank you. He says, well, my husband doesn't think so. And he says, oh, well, I do. So anytime you want to leave your husband, he says, just give me a call. So about 20 minutes later, I go back to my table where my husband was, and this guy's talking to my husband. So he said to Paul, do you know her? And Paul says, yeah, sort of. I know. Why? I says, he wants me to give you up for him. And you know something? Right at this moment, I think I'm going to do that.
Yes.
Oh, the guy says, is Paul your husband? I says, oh, yeah, yes, you know? And he goes, oh, well, I didn't mean what I said. I says, what a coward you are, you know? I'll tell you.
Okay.
What a coward you are. Jeez. But I get that all the time. You know, and my husband loves it, believe me. So, and he is proud of me because I got that patch on and I'm not smoking.
There you go.
I can't believe more that I'm doing this. You like it? Yeah, I do too. I feel better too. And the food is starting to taste really good, so I have to be very careful of my intake because I could be like 300 pounds by the end of the year if I keep it up, you know. And
no,
it's
that's
hard
all
because
it's all a myth. All you got to do is eat in moderation, take care of yourself. That's it.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do, you know, really. And that's even harder. So, but we'll just see. If I put a pound on, I'm going back smoking. No, I'm not. I'm not doing it this far. And, you know, you have to really want it to give it up, you know.
Yeah. Get back to this utopia thing. If I have people with serious questions and stuff and they want to apply, you know, they'll be happy. They will be happy to answer your questions and concerns. They're in L.A. casting and interviewing right now, and they're almost at the tail end of it.
Well, have this guy call in.
Well,
where is he?
Trying to get their stuff together, and we should be talking to a lady by the name of Kristen Curtin. See, I guess she's the media spokesman. So we're going to be in touch over the next couple of days. But I'm probably Tuesday, well, depending on what day is convenient for them and also works out for me, it could be Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday next week. And then we'll have them back from time to time with updates on how it's going. And maybe we get an interview from somebody that's on the show.
Sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing that. I'd have to figure a few things out, but I wouldn't mind doing it.
That'd be good.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them you got a 73-year-old woman that would like to participate.
If you're serious, I'll send you the link.
Really? Send me the link. I'm serious. I need something extra, you know, after this month. I'm not going to have anything to fight about anymore. So,
well, you got a pen handy?
No, but I can get one.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me see if this writes now. Of course it doesn't.
Oh, well, don't worry about that.
Go ahead.
I just put it on your page.
On Facebook?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, you can hit
I'll
it up later.
I'll go to it after. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll get it after.
Okay. But, they said they'd probably be checking in tonight and listening. So we got a few people. It's like a lot of people go off the different things to get to the show, and a lot of times they don't show up. They don't show up here in the chat room, or they call
in,
and then when I ask them, they just want to listen. So there's a few people listening. There's a few people in the chat room. There's a few people that are listening to the link off Facebook, Google, Yahoo.
Mm-hmm.
Usually in the morning, by the time I leave, 30 or 40,000 people have checked it out overnight. So it's not not a bad thing that's going on.
Right. Well, it never was.
No.
I always thought it was a good thing, you know. I always thought it was a good thing. So.
Stacy, what's going on over there? Anything good?
Well, I've been out of commission the past couple of days, so, you know, I couldn't even begin to to tell you because I've been pretty much like, I mean, most of the people know I had surgery a couple of days ago, and I'm recouping from that. And tonight's kind of weird because last night, believe it or not, I was up most of the night, and I think that's from the anesthesia the day before that kept me sleeping so well. And like now I just feel like crash. It's a crash and burn. I'm like out of commission. But, you know, when I'm not on the move and mingling here and there and stuff, I don't really get the chit-chat of what's going on, you know, and I haven't really watched the news or any of all of that stuff because I can't right at this moment.
Right.
Well, I don't mean to be a thing, and it's not that it's my bedtime, but my friend is calling in. You know, my girlfriend who buried her husband today.
Go for it. We'll talk to you soon.
So, all right. Talk to you later. Thanks a lot.
Good night.
For listening. Good night, guys. Take it easy.
Bye.
So, yeah, it's just, you know, it's an interesting group. And I talked to Bill today. He said to tell everybody hello. And
I haven't heard his voice in so long, I forget what it sounds like. I know it's smooth. Hi, Bill. We miss you.
Hey, you can call him at the you can ring into shop.
You know how I don't bother people at work. I don't do that. You know that. I can't do it. Because I know that's his place of business, and I don't care how many people sit in his chair and he kicks it with. I know that's a place of business, and I, like, respect that. I don't know, it was the way I was raised. You don't bother people at work.
I didn't get a chance to talk to him about this thing today, but he had some other stuff going on, and he had a bunch of phone calls, so I had to run. My schedule was kind of tight today, but
the basis of it would be a reality style TV with bikers from all walks of life, and I mean, what are they going to do? Like, put them somewhere to try to? What exactly is going to be like the key focal point?
Okay.
Of that.
Hang on, I'll get right to that for you. I'll answer that question here. What's going to happen is they're going to take 15 people and drop them in a remote area, asking them to build their own society from scratch. No rules, no guidelines, no guidelines set, no actual requirements or producers telling people what to say. It's going to be a documented social experiment. So they're going to provide the livestock, fertile land, water, and a structure, and some starter money. The rest is up to the pioneers. So like I said, they want many groups represented, and one of which will be the one percenters, or somebody from the MC world. But it's going to be called Utopia.
Yeah, I definitely would do it. You know, it's survival mode and how well you can get people to work together, you know. And I would definitely, like, if given the opportunity, I would definitely do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be interesting just to see if, you know, you get a bunch of people with the same mutual interest.
The other thing I wanted to tell you about is it's a casting call with no guarantee of acceptance. So basically, I think you're going to go and get interviewed and everything like that, and they're going to pick your brain from some of the stuff. They're on Facebook under Utopia.
Okay.
And it's utopiatv.com, and it's from what I saw on their Facebook page, it's pretty good. It's a pretty good site.
Yeah, well, what would be interesting is if, like, the people that they gather together could put down all the politics behind the who can hang with who and actually come together to create this type of utopia. That's the proper wording for it, for sure. And that would be the interesting thing, because a small project like that could lead to broader spectrums, you know, further on down the road, because you guys have been talking about this for years, to everybody to just come together and, you know, just advocate for one another. And with all the politics behind everything, there's, you know, lines drawn here and there. And, you know, it definitely will be interesting to see, you know, if they can pull it off.
Yeah. I think it'll work. I didn't get a chance to ask him what the link was for Dutch TV to watch it there, but that will be one of my first questions for people that want to check it out from what is it coming from over there.
Right.
No, it's again, it's just a casting call with no guarantee of acceptance. So basically, you're going to show up and get interviewed, I think.
You know, but I'm wondering with that, too, if there's more like Hollywood personification with that. Are they looking for a certain look, you know? And I would question that, too. I mean, if they're doing this for actual purpose, that would be cool, but if they're like shuffling through the interview process to look for a certain style or a certain representation of what people feel a biker should look like, et cetera, then they're doing it for the glorification and the fame and fortune. So I would slap some questions down about that. If they really want to try to pull this off, then they should really get people who are like salted from the earth and not these pretty little faces with perfect tail lines, et cetera, you know, get real people, not just what buffers so nicely on the screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it started out as KO telling me that I should interview this guy for the show, and then it just took on from there.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like a good idea.
Mm-hmm. I think
did Nora fall asleep? Is she still with us?
She might have to hang up.
Oh, okay. Because it's like I haven't heard boo, except for like two things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, let me play this real quick and then I'll be right back. I gotta answer this phone call. Hold on.
All right.
Thank you.
we're back. And this is Thursday edition. And we were talking about a new show. It'll be called Utopia. And for people that are seriously interested, if you have what it takes to do this, I'm going to send you to, it's called UtopiaTVCasting.com. And we'll have somebody on from, I think her name is Kristen Curtin, next week. Just have to get
nice.
To find out what day is good. But, yeah. And then out of Australia today, their Human Rights Commission joined in with the bikies.
Really?
Yeah. And what's going on is the Australian Human Rights Commission, AHRC for short, will join with the Nomads Bikey Gang or Biker Club to challenge the NSW laws preventing bikey members gathering and meeting together.
That,
so
I feel so bad.
Yeah, they're going to challenge the law next Tuesday in the High Court with leading barrister Brett Walker. He's put forward a written submission on behalf of the ARC seeking leave to appear with the bikies. And when I say bikies, that's what they call them over there. Here they call them bikers.
Right.
Over there they call them. And the commission argues that the laws could contravene the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. This case to them is about everyone's rights, because as you know, they're arresting anybody.
Yeah,
three people are somewhere, and they arrest all three of them and lock them up. And they don't have to tell anybody where you're at. That's the bad part.
No, I just can't believe, you know, the stuff that's taken place over the last couple of years down there with individuals' right to ride, et cetera. It's just, like, ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. You know, if you're a biker, you're just going to be basically crucified if you live down there. And it's more politically driven than anything else, of course, but, I mean, it's such a crock of shit, it's not even funny, you know.
No.
And I mean, what's going on there, of course, is gonna flow all over the place. That's, you know, any type of attachment, because as soon as they can push it to where they really want it, that's when it will open up a whole can of worms. And
mm-hmm.
It just, I think it's absolutely ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous, that they've got these people labeled and profiled and everything else, you know, and you basically can't breathe if you have any love for a motorcycle or anything like that. And that's just horrible. It's not like these are, you know, people that are going to take over the world. And that's, you know, they're putting a smackdown on them like they're, you know, driven by something out of some insane asylum. And it's just, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely
mm-hmm.
ridiculous.
You know, they've got all kinds of stuff going on in there. They're having a protest rally, and they want to make it the biggest one they've ever seen. They sent me the flyer. I posted the flyer for them. And,
right.
You know, they want to tell their government they had enough. Basically, what it's called is the Last Stand Protest Ride. It's going to be for the Freedom Riders in Australia, wish to invite you to participate in the largest motorcycle protest ride ever held in Australia. Say no to all the new anti-motorcycle and Vlad laws. This is your chance to make a difference. Stand up and be counted. It starts at 10 a.m. It's outside of the Olivia Terrace Park and Kenza Street in O'Connor. This one is going to be on Sunday. This one's going to be on 1 December 2014 in Canberra. And then they're going to have... It's going to be from 6:30 to midnight. They're going to have food. You got to have a ticket to get in, because they're going to have a band and some other stuff. But the protest ride.
I just hope it doesn't turn into a circus. You know what I'm saying? Because it just, the way they discriminate against them, you know, I can't. Is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I, you know, like, another thing I don't get is, like, when I went over to Bermuda, that island's, like, you know, compared to other islands, is, like, the size of a tip of a needle, you know. And, I mean, Australia is a good chunk of land, you know. And, I mean, in Bermuda, they don't allow you to have, like, the V-twin engines, that it can only have one. Like, if you split the V-twin in half, you know, it's like a half.
Yeah, one cylinder.
Yeah, and the most, you know, drive scooters and stuff, but the biggest, the biggest population factor, they are driving those scooters, you know. They're not full-size motorcycles, but the main driven vehicle are the scooters. And Australia being bigger, I can't even begin to imagine them wanting to, you know, take people's motorcycle rights away from them, et cetera, and impact their ecosystem and their economy and everything else, trying to put more cars and stuff on the island. They're just turning this into a freak show. I'm sure people down in Australia.
And I tell people all the time, it doesn't matter what your personal views on every group has their element, you know. Every group
right.
has their bad apples. It's a known
yeah,
fact.
That's the truth. It
doesn't matter to me what your personal views on the, okay, say what bikies or criminals are in general. It's the government's insistence on destroying the rule of law and basic human rights. That's what's at stake here. It's the same
yep.
thing that's going to...
Yeah.
Whatever they do in Australia or Canada or here, it goes... Like, if they do it here on the West Coast, it's going to go east. If they do it east, it's going to come west. It comes
right.
in full circle. It comes full circle. I don't give a rat's ass what your view on 1%ers are. You might have applaud the governments for working hard to destroy them. That's not the issue. It's like I said, the issue is the rule of law and the basic human rights. That's what's at stake.
Yeah, and I mean...
How would you like to wake up tomorrow and realize that you have to eat... You have to dress the way the government tells you. You have to eat government food. You have to go to your government job. You have your kids go to government schools. And you have no fucking rights.
Yeah, that's when I go take off to the mountains. But even, you know, just falling back on, like, what I said, you know, with the islands and stuff, everything's imported, exported. You know, cars that are worth $15,000 here, they're paying $40,000 there. And, like, if you throw in the whole economy factor, it's cheaper for people to ride motorcycles, ride scooters, things like that, than get a small little car, you know? And it's just stupid. It really, really is. And they're just trying to turn this into something it's so not. And, you know, they're succeeding, and it's just... I don't even know where that's going to go down there, because when they seem like they get one foot forward, they fall two steps
we
back,
go, we,
you know?
Yeah. I got something here for you to listen to.
Okay.
And over the...
Let me tell you what it is before I play it, okay? What this is, it's... Now, I want you to... While you're listening to this, I want you to close your eyes. And then open your eyes, and I want you to see. You can see... Once you hear this, you'll be able to see. It's like these aren't any bikie laws. They are anti-free association bills and legislations. We will not be able to change and convert the perception that these laws can and will, in fact, in time, affect everyone, any club, organization, group, or association. Can we raise awareness to the general populace and drop this anti-bikie law tag? Give it to those legislations. They are anti-free association and control. Being the operative word here, control. Not anywhere in
I'm agreeing with you.
Not anywhere in either legislation, LAD, QLD, and COAC. I have read, does it, and it specifically says, motorcycle club or riders, how can we gain the support of the general public when we disassociate ourselves from them by continuing to mislead them regards what these legislations truly are. They are simply being used in a corrupt manner to target and use against clubs that the government deems outlaws. Everyone's at risk, and everybody knows it. So we've got to educate everyone to this fact. You know, how can we, if they're gonna educate all these mainstream Australians and keep them, you know, and they keep alienating them from the truth of the laws and legislations. But listen to this.
So a couple of weeks ago, we brought you an overview of the so-called new anti-bikie laws in Queensland. Of the three pieces of legislation that have been introduced, the Vicious Lawless Association Disestablishment Bill, or VLAD Act for short, is the one that has drawn the most criticism and controversy. At the time, the head of the Queensland Law and Justice Institute spoke to us. His name is Peter Callaghan. He asked the question whether ordinary people might be caught up in the laws.
You can play around with examples that could catch an extraordinary number of situations. None of us has had the opportunity to look at this seriously. But, you know, if you have a football team who decides to go to biff outside the rules of the game, are they an organisation that has as one of its purposes something that's against the law? I don't know. We haven't had the opportunity to have a responsible examination of this legislation.
The president of the Queensland Law Society, Annette Bradfield, also said the laws appear to apply to a range of social organisations.
Now, in terms of new criminal laws that have been cast as the crackdown on bikies, we're concerned that potentially the new VLAD legislation could apply to any association, sporting group, book club, etc.
Do you remember that lady I had on, the attorney? Her name was Ava Krebs?
I think so, yeah.
That's her.
Doesn't just apply to criminal motorcycle gangs. The provisions of the VLAD bill have been so broadly drawn that they apply to workplaces, businesses, as I say, sporting associations and the like. It is up to you to prove that that association or club doesn't exist to commit offences.
Now, they ask these questions because the laws are applied to any member or associate of an organisation, whether incorporated or unincorporated, legal or illegal, formal or informal, or an association of three or more people. Mandatory sentences of 15 years for ordinary organisation members and 25 years for office bearers apply to a range of declared offences, and these include things like murder, a range of sexual offences, but also they include things like riot, possession of a dangerous drug, receipt of tainted property, dangerous operation of a motor vehicle, and affray, which means fighting in public. For the penalties to apply, offences have to be committed in the course of the affairs of an organisation. Now, even though the laws may seem very broad and imprecise, you would think that most people would probably think that they won't apply to them, that they won't apply to ordinary people. But that's not what barrister Anna Capilano thinks.
I think our natural inclination, particularly law-abiding citizens, is to think that regardless of whatever the sort of legal mumbo-jumbo or the legal definitions are, that these, especially that last part of the definition, will only actually catch people who are involved in, seem to be career criminals, and whose organisation's clear purpose is to be involved in criminal activities. But I think that is incorrect, and one of the important things to remember is police don't have to prove that one of the purposes is engaging the criminal offence. The charged individual must prove that that's not a purpose at all. And I think the really extreme operation is probably best illustrated by examples. One example is, if you imagine a group of five friends who are in a band, they regularly get together at one of their houses and play music. During one band practice, there's a noise complaint and police respond to the noise complaint. While at the house and in the rehearsal room, police find a small amount of cannabis. There's used pipes and bongs around the place. They can smell that cannabis has been used in the room. The band members make admission to having smoked pot during the rehearsal, and they're charged with possessing dangerous drugs. Now, none of the band members have a criminal history. They all work, some of them are students, and as a result, when they go to the court, they go to the magistrate's court and receive a fine in the magistrate's court. They would ordinarily have no conviction recorded. Now, unfortunately, in this seemingly fairly minor situation, the VLAD Act is enlivened. The people have committed a relevant offence in possessing dangerous drugs. Their band is a group of three or more people, and therefore is a relevant legislation under the Act. And thirdly, the offence has been committed while they were participating in the band's affairs or the group's affairs. So in order for these people to avoid the automatic 15 or 25 years imprisonment, they must prove that engaging in a criminal offence is not one of the purposes of the organisation. Now, again, I think it's natural for one to assume, well, you'd be able to prove that they're just getting together to play music. This isn't what the act's intended for. But unfortunately, if you imagine that when the people are talking to the police at the start, they make admissions to say that, look, on other practices, yeah, they, you know, one of them brings over pot and they have a joint during practice sessions on another occasion, on a number of previous occasions, then there's a real prospect that they're going to be unable to prove that engaging in possessing drugs or smoking drugs isn't one of the purposes of their group. And these people who are generally law-abiding citizens who would have been fined in the magistrate's court, have no conviction recorded, will be vicious lawless associates and they will spend the next 15 years in prison. If one of the band members was also the manager, that person's spending 25 years in prison. And unfortunately, that's how the act applies. It may seem far-fetched, but there is no discretion here. The police have been told that they have to utilise these laws to the full extent or they won't have a job. Once the matters get to court, the prosecutors don't have discretion in relation to whether they charge under these acts. These acts just exist. It's not a specific charging process. And judges and magistrates have absolutely no discretion as to whether they can apply the 15 or 25 years. And in fact, the Act specifically makes reference to the fact that some people would be sentenced to the 15 or 25 years in circumstances where they wouldn't receive a jail sentence otherwise, by saying that you do your jail sentence first and then you might have to do your 6 month probation. So the government clearly has foreseen that this is a circumstance, but I don't think it's been made clear to the public that this is one of the broad examples.
Ms. Capilano says it's unclear what the standard of proof is for someone to prove or disprove they committed an offence for the purposes of the affairs of an organisation.
It's not clear on the face of the legislation exactly how this would all apply in practice, and I think that's another problem with a lot of this legislation. The practical ramifications of it probably aren't clear. So what court does this get determined in? What's the standard of proof that the person has to satisfy before they're seen to be participating in the affairs of an organisation? But I think that a real danger is that, does this get determined by a judge or does it get determined by a jury? None of that's spelled out in the legislation. If it's a factual question, then one may think that it would be a jury to determine, who would determine whether you're participating in the affairs of the organisation. But if it is a question like that, jury members might not be fully aware of what the ramifications are, and what the ramifications are isn't relevant to the determination of whether or not you're participating in the affairs of the organisation when the offence is committed.
If it's possible for someone to make that hard case that you're talking about of proving that the group that they were with did not have as one of their purposes to engage in criminal acts, it seems to me like this could at the very least just cost people a lot of time and money that it ordinarily wouldn't have. Is that a fair assumption to make?
Yeah, I think so, definitely. And I guess it raises issues in terms of access to justice, like who are these laws going to affect most? Is it going to be people who have resources, perhaps, and can have resources to employ a team of lawyers to fight this and find all the legal arguments and try to make arguments in relation to proving that one of the purposes isn't criminal activities, might be okay, but after having the incredibly terrifying experience of looking at potentially spending the next 15 or 25 years in jail, and I don't think that's the situation that anyone would really want to be in, particularly when the offence you've committed may not even result in a period of imprisonment. But you could also see how it could apply to people who maybe don't have those resources. It could produce some pretty inequitable outcomes, I think. And raise the whole access to justice issue, which is always something that I think we need to strive for and in all societies.
Further concerns around the VLAD Act have been raised in relation to the G20 protests next year. President of the Queensland Council of Civil Liberties, Michael Cope, says because riot is one of the declared offences in VLAD, it could come into play during G20 next year.
A riot is defined as an assembly of 12 or more persons,
and which results in violence, including damage to property. And if property is damaged, then 7 years imprisonment is a possible punishment, and that's the provision which is picked up in the Vlad Act. So that if you have an organised group of protesters and 12 or more persons, so if 12 or more persons get together, have a meeting, go to the protest, and some of them get involved in violence, and even the people who are not involved in the violence, if they are associated, they will have to be because that's a requirement to be found guilty of the riot, then it seems to be that the Vlad Act could indeed come into play. I mean, this is, once again, one of the problems of the Vlad Act. It seems to be about bikies, but bikies are not mentioned nowhere in it. It's a very general act applying to all sorts of associations, and it seems to me that there is a very real case for saying that a riot at the G20 could be covered by the Vlad Act.
I'm interested in this. Is there any discretion involved? Does the prosecutor have to argue for a sentence of this kind?
The discretion is in the charging, and this is also one of these problems of mandatory sentencing of all types. The discretion moves from the judge to the prosecutor. The prosecutor has the choice as to what to charge and what penalties to seek. So it will be up to the prosecutor. The prosecutor would have the option of charging the riot and connecting it, and also charging under the Vlad Act.
But that's not all that concerns Mr. Cope. He has a range of other misgivings about the new G20 laws. The law set out a range of new declared security areas in Brisbane and Cairns. In Brisbane, the laws apply to areas in and around the Hilton, Stamford, Marriott, Royal on the Park, Pullman and Sofitel hotels in the CBD, the Novotel in Spring Hill, the Ridges Hotel in South Bank. It also applies to the Suncorp Stadium bus terminal, the Treasury Casino, the Convention and Exhibition Centre, and the Bowen Hills Showgrounds. In Cairns, the laws apply to the Convention Centre in Cairns, the Showground, and the Department of Transport and Main Roads building. Police will have the power to stop and search people in these areas, including children and persons with impaired capacity, as well as conduct strip searches and enter and search premises in the areas without a warrant. The Commissioner of Police will have the power to compile a list of prohibited persons who will not be allowed to enter these areas. Groups like the Queensland Law Society, Caxton Legal Centre and Australian Lawyers for Human Rights say powers already exist for the Police Minister to declare areas and compile a list of prohibited persons for special events under the Police Powers and Responsibilities Act. Michael Cope agrees.
Our view is that the legislation is unnecessary. We consider that the police in Queensland have more than enough powers to deal with the issues which might arise. The police have the power to arrest people for a breach of the peace, and they have the power to order people to move on. We consider that they are more than sufficient powers. In fact, we're of the view that the problems which developed in places like Toronto and London were more to do with poor training and understaffing of the police, together with, in fact, misuse by the police of the excessive powers that they were granted, rather than do with the fact that the police did not have sufficient powers. So, in our view, the legislation has insufficient regard to the basic right of people to protest and exercise their right of freedom of speech.
Just as you say that, I find it interesting the Peaceful Assemblies Act does not apply in these new security areas. Given the logic of the legislation, I suppose, is that necessary, or is this, or what are your thoughts on that?
What the government wants to do, what they're doing in the bill, they have to exclude the Peaceful Assemblies Act because it effectively gets a statutory right to demonstrate. I mean, what?
See, now, this guy says they have to exclude it, but they're not. They're doing everything. We got a caller from...
Right.
We got a caller from Massachusetts here. Let's see who this is. Okay, I guess they don't want to talk.
Yeah. It's all right.
But, some crazy shit going on over there.
It is. It's absolutely, like I said, it's mind-blowing at this point, you know, and I seriously, I've tried to, like, think of what exactly drives the government down there to do that to the Australian bikers, and for the life of me, I can't. You've not seen no headlines where bikers destroyed this or somebody did that or something. You know what I'm saying? For them to really get on their ass the way they're doing so, and it doesn't make no sense whatsoever. It really doesn't. They can't even like turn around and remotely say, you know, we're doing this because of this incident or that incident. They're just doing it to be warlords, basically. It's terrible.
Yeah. See, in just over a month, Gerard and the Newman's cruel laws will come into effect. This laws will banning the bikies and associates from working in a number of trades in Queensland. Building, construction, plumbing, electricians, security workers, tattooists, they went after everybody. How do you know if you're not an associate? How do you know if you're not an associate?
That's the thing, they're putting the squeeze on it.
Yeah.
And they're not going to allow anybody any room to move an inch. If you associate or you are, they're going to put their thumb down on you. And that's what I mean. It's such a crock of shit. It don't make no sense. It really don't. I think they've got enough things that they could worry about down there than a bunch of people riding motorcycles. It don't make no sense.
But it's not just motorcycles. It's everybody. Because how do you know if you're an associate?
Yeah.
The police are simply going to tell the relevant government department that issues your license for business or whatever that you have links.
Yep.
And links, what evidence is required? In line with incompetent and childish government policy? None, of course. From now until July 1st, of 2014, make it your absolute priority to hold Campbell and Gerard to account. Real people will lose their jobs. Real families will be impacted. And don't let your local MP forget either. If innocent people are going to lose their jobs, it's only fair that the politicians lose theirs.
Yeah, that's going to be a big mess. It really is, because they're going to impact fear into the people. You know, if you talk to this person, you know, it's going to cost you this, that, and the other. Or if you continue to associate, it's going to cost you this, that, and the other. And people are going to be in fear, and they're not going to be able to be who they naturally are. And it's such a crock of shit. It really is.
And the sad part is, they're trying. There's a couple of guys here from California, from ATF, and so on, that are going there advising these guys on what to do.
Yeah, so you know what's in the mix for this part of the world, you know. I can't. You know, are they in that much of fear of the biker society because we have our views, you know, and we're free to air them for the most part? That
for right
they
now,
feel the need. Yeah, they are like on a mission to squish it out. They don't. Yeah. Don't make no sense. It really don't.
No, I just If you want to, help out there, I just put all the links up. You can write, you can call, you can fax. Let me try. Let me see if this. I think there's somebody riding in a car with the window down. 781. Are you there? Wanted to call in, you should roll out the window and turn down the sound. But,
I can't hear anything.
Well, it sounds like they're driving with the window down.
Huh? Possibility. Could be somebody out on the road. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. You know, they just implemented a law over there where you can't have a shot of the whiskey after midnight.
Say that again?
They just implemented a law over there where you can't get a shot of whiskey overnight after midnight.
What?
Yep.
You can't. They don't want people doing nothing. They want people completely controlled. They want a controlled society. And it's just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they do that, you're going to go back to the days where people were just, you know, illegally getting what they wanted, you know? And there's money to be made in that, and socially and everything else. And some people, it's their heritage, you know? And people will still find a way. And to me, that's just stupidity. Why, if you want something organized, like alcohol, keep it organized. You stop banning it, and that's when you implement all the bullshit that comes along with it. They don't make no sense. They really don't. It's true what they say, you know, you don't learn your lessons in history, it'll repeat itself. And that's exactly what'll happen. People will be running whiskey here, there, and everywhere, and, you know, you go back to the days of them shooting places up and everything else to get the alcohol where it needs to be. And that's just stupidity. It's stupidity, stupidity.
It is.
You know, people don't learn. That's the problem.
No. No. No, and I'm going to send this person a message. I think I know who it is. So we'll see what happens. And whatever happens there, they started doing some of the shit in Canada, and it's not far. It's not. I say within 2-3 years it's going to be here.
Oh yeah, because they're slowly putting the pressure on the bikers here, you know. And I mean, that's been coming along for the last 20 years. They've been slowly squeaking
in
what they can.
Like I told you, in the city where I live, three of us could be standing on the corner, or three of us can be standing out front of Bill's shop, and they park and get on the radio. And you know, we got 3 or 4 cars. And then if we all take off in different directions, they follow each one of us.
Yeah, but you know what gets me? You know, profiling is illegal. You know what I'm saying? You're not supposed to profile people, but isn't that what you're doing? You know, that's really what it boils down to. You're
with the outlawed motorcycle. The same thing, the outlawed motorcycle only checkpoints. It's going into its second year already, and it's still happening. Now they're doing it under the guise of safety checks.
Yeah, that's what gets me about out there in California with you guys. That's just such, that's a crock of shit. And it's like over here, well, at least the spot that I'm in, you don't really see that unless, like, you're going up to Laconia during Bike Week, which is going to be underway here over Father's Day weekend. Then you'll have different checkpoints set up, and that's, you know, mostly in fact that there's a large amount of bikers coming into the area. But as to, like, what you guys get on a daily basis, where I'm situated, I don't see that at all, you know. Not to say that it's not happening at further points up north or wherever in the state, but you don't hear too much of that where you guys on the West Coast, you're getting slammed with that stuff, you know, every day. It could be, you know, like in California, you guys got a larger population of people and you have more warmer weather, and maybe that's the grounds they go on by all this biker stuff. But over here, like I said, where I'm at, I just don't see a lot of it. And a lot of that stuff is not really posted up in, like, the local newspapers unless they're busting up a biker bar or a club or anything like that. Then it makes the papers. But as for stuff like that, they pretty much keep it to a low key. And I don't know if that's because they want to or that's just, you know, the way it is. But you guys, it's ridiculous. You guys can get pulled over 7 days a week. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just gets crazier by the day. Let me try one more time. Hello, 781.
781? Calling once, going twice.
But, I'm going to They're trying to jack it with us now, so I guess they don't like what we're talking about tonight. Again.
Yeah. What else is there?
Exactly. So, let me see. I think this one will be appropriate. Yeah, I'm gonna let Sammy Hager take us out. And
okie dokie.
I hope you feel better, and I'm gonna let Sammy take us out with I Can't Drive 55. And for everybody that's listening, 781, I'm sorry you couldn't get on. Try it again next week, and people in the chat room and everybody listening. Keep the rubber side down. And this is the Thursday night edition of the Phil and Bill Show, and we'll talk to you guys Tuesday. All right, good night,
all
everybody.
Right. Be safe.
It's so smooth into the curves. And what'd you do, Claudio?
I adjust the cam from camber and correct the tire pressure.
Oh, what a difference.
Look out, Jack. Hey, get out of here. I'm driving it home.
Come on, I'm gone. I'm out of here. Yeah.
Good night, everybody.